Campus FM presents Talking Heads Season 3, brought to you by students of the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change.
Think you ever judge people without looking deep enough?
And with that, we welcome you to one more episode of Talking It Season 3. I am Katrin Möbius, and today we will be talking about the importance of empathy and putting ourselves in other people's shoes. For this, we have some incredible guests today who will be sharing their projects, knowledge, and stories with us to show how there's always something beneath the surface and that the world is never, ever black and white. But before we start, you've already heard one of my co-hosts' smooth voices today. We have Milton here with us and also our wonderful colleague Mary, or Mary Carmen. Welcome, the two of you. How are you guys?
Hey, Catherine. Well, I'm great. I'm very happy to participate in this program because to me, empathy is very important. We usually have these masks, right, for different social contexts. And usually these masks are very strong, but we don't really see the weakness, the softness that is underneath them. So it's very exciting to talk about this topic today. What do you think, Mari Carmen?
Yeah, well, first, hello, everyone. For me, it's great also to be here today. And I agree with you, Milton. For me, empathy is such a necessary feeling we all need to have so we can understand better each other, especially in our Adult Education for Social Change Master Program. We need to understand others' feelings and others' needs. I think so. What do you think, Adrian?
Yeah, it's so important that we try to see the world through the eyes of other people. And to give you some new perspectives on that today, we have three guests. We have Buna, one of our colleagues from Thailand, and Salas, one of our colleagues from Ghana. And also we have Dr. Angela Abella from the University of Malta.
Before we interview our first guests, we would like to ask you, the listeners, to join us in thinking about these things by posing a simple question. Have you ever thought that someone looked like they had a perfect life on social media or in general? What could be going on behind the pretty pictures and the strong face?
Have a think about it. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to Talking Heads. Have you thought about the question we just posed? About what might be going on beneath the strength or the great life that many people display on the surface? Well, we have an expert on this topic here today.
Yes, you're right, Catherine. And to talk about this connection between what people show on the outside and their internal struggles, we had the pleasure to have today in the studio to Bunrana Wiwatanankul, or better known as Buna in our IMAS group, who, after studying an industrial design bachelor in her native country, Thailand, started with a great project called Fitbook, and she will explain to us this project. Welcome, and thanks for being here, Buna.
Hi, hello, everyone. Sawadika, that's how we say hello in Thailand.
Oh, can you repeat that?
Sawadika.
Sawadika.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, original. So, Buna, can you tell us where did the idea of developing Fitbook come from and what is it about?
Well, I got this idea when I was playing Facebook and felt so bad about myself because I was comparing myself to others' perfect lives. But when I had a chance to talk to those perfect people, I found that they all had struggles too. As I wrote in a blog, like, you know, like a millionaire has a millionaire's problem, a supermodel has supermodel's problem. We are dealing with different kind of struggles, but we rarely show them on Facebook because Facebook is kind of our identities. It's about our faces, our appearance. So I thought, what if we forget about our faces? So I came up with a project that's the opposite side of Facebook called Feetbook. Instead of taking a photo of faces, I took photos of people's feet and interviewed them about like their real life, real feeling or a hidden truth that no one knows.
Oh, yeah. So as you said, we all have struggles or internal issues. And so based on the answers you have heard from the people involved in your Facebook project, do you think people feel better after sharing what their real struggles are?
I think it's kind of a relief for them to tell the truth. I witnessed like a fear from a brave girl, even a sorrow from a guy who always laughed. It's weird that we all want to be perfect, but at some point, we need someone to accept our imperfection. Also, sometimes we focus too much on our own problems. So when we read about like other struggles, we will find out that our problems are so tiny and it's totally okay not to be okay. We all share that pain and finally we feel more human.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Indeed, I have personal experience how my friends or even my family usually think, you know, that I never have problems because I smile a lot or something. But sometimes I just smile because I want to hide sadness or some issues. So in this regard, Buna, what have you learned with your Facebook project? Have you developed more empathy yourself towards what is a person's background?
Well, every story gives me different lessons, but overall I learned not to like be upset or sink into my own problem. Sometimes when I chose my interviewee, I select the one that I cannot imagine their sadness, the one that I want to live their lives. But after listening to their stories, I found that they are dealing with a problem that sometimes even harder than mine. And at the end of the day, it's only you who live with that problem. You are the one who cares, and it's only you who can solve it. We can't always escape a problem. We must learn to face it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, Buna, what is the next step you are planning to take your project forward?
I would love to collect more feet and more stories in order to publish those stories as a book for people who are facing depression, especially from because of social media. Yeah, that's
great.
My goal.
So your goal is to create a book with all the stories that you collect.
Yes.
Great. How many stories do you have so far, more or less?
Around like 30.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Great. So I have to say this was amazing to listen to your project. Now, thank you so much for sharing your project with us, Buna. And if our audience is interested in knowing more about Facebook, you can go to our iMask blog at imask-onmask.squarespace.com and check out some fit pictures and the stories behind them. Also, for more details about it, you can contact to our guest, Buna, by writing her a mail to Bunrana, I spelled that for you, bunrana.vvk@gmail.com. Once more, thank you so much, Buna.
Thank you for having me here, too. And yes, if you want to be part of this project, do send your story to my email. Like, you know, who knows, your story may change someone's life.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Wow, that is such a great project. I really hope this will spread to many more countries and contexts, and maybe some of you listeners will also send a photo one day. Now as our next guest, we have with us Solis Rose Quarty, who you probably remember from our first program. She is a social worker and a journalist and news anchor in Ghana. And Solis has been very successful and under radar of many people. Today, we would like to talk to her a little bit about what it took her to get where she is now and what might be hiding beneath the strong personality she displays. A very warm welcome to you, Solis. How are you?
I'm fine. What might be hiding, huh? Okay.
So as a broadcast journalist and news anchor, the public spotlight is on you a lot. How do you think people see you? What impression do you make?
I mean, I've been in the spotlight my whole life. I started media when I was 10. So I've always been seen as a very confident person. very outspoken, very, well, intelligent, but then in our local parlance, we also say too known, which means you think you know everything. So, yeah, that definitely, in terms of the impression that they have, it would definitely be those things. And overall, would be strong and very opinionated.
Yeah. What do you think got you to where you are right now? Because you seem like you're quite an established person.
Well, life's experiences, I would say my foundation was very strong emotionally, but not financially. So at a very young age, I had to decide where I wanted my life to be and learn that I had the power to change my life and that no one was going to come from anywhere and save me. And so fortunately, having been born with a lot of natural talents, very creative talents like singing, you know, speaking and, you know, being able to act and, you know, do poetry, drama, dancing. That's how come I actually ended up in the media. I went that way and basically that's how I ended up here.
Have you encountered many barriers on your way here?
Yes, a lot of it. And most of them were economic and most of them were economic and social. So it's like a class or a status thing where people will disrespect you because you're not from a certain family with a certain kind of name. Your parents don't drive that car or live in that house. But I think I'm one of those people who is a typical example of being using the fact that being like intelligent, not just by like in terms of books, but being able to make meaning and create something out of nothing is one way of getting yourself out of any economic crisis you might be in.
Yeah.
Because the society might not present, or the environment might not necessarily present you any opportunities, but you can create them.
Yeah. See, and that's something that I didn't know about you, even though we've been studying together for like what, half a year?
Yeah.
I didn't know the struggles that you've been facing. I don't know. You must have been going through so many things as a black woman in Ghana. I mean, that's not easy. And we don't know about these things. I always saw you as a very strong, brave person, but there is a reason why you are the way you are.
I am strong and I am brave, but I am also human.
Yes.
And I go through the same things that people go through. The only difference I would say between myself and other people would be how I cope with things. I don't panic easily. And it's all based on experience, because the thing is, when something needs to be done, if school fees need to be paid, if food needs to be put on the table, crying is not going to solve it.
It's like a
very basic reaction, like, okay, if I respond this way, what would it do? It's always how would it affect the situation? Nothing. So you go to damage control, you go to fixing the situation instead of thinking of wallowing in it.
Yeah.
And obviously that also has its negatives, because then you detach yourself from situations a lot.
Exactly. I was just going to ask you, what would be the downsides of being perceived as a very strong and very confident person?
No one helps you. Everybody thinks you have it together. And the thing is, sometimes you do have it together, but it doesn't mean you don't need help, you know, like a typical example, like I was quite intelligent when I was in school. I didn't need too much help academically, but it actually meant I was ignored totally because, she's fine. But I needed help in certain areas like math, but no one really paid attention to that part. It's like, oh, no, she doesn't need any help. And so everybody else who sort of needed more obvious help was helped. And I found myself alone most of the time, having to learn on my own and do most things on my own, because everybody assumed I was just okay.
Yeah, I think that's what happens a lot. We always strive to be more confident, to be stronger, and then we forget that also that does have its downsides.
It is.
That's not the perfect world either. Yeah.
I mean, the strength becomes a weakness, because then people see you as this strong person. Like, and then you become naturally, anything that's strong becomes a sort of strength for others and becomes something that people want to lean on. And obviously, you're a human being. If people lean on you too much,
you'll fall. Yeah. How do you feel about like showing your weaknesses on the surface so that people can see them?
It's almost impossible. You are able to show it to a select few, but then that's like a whole level of trust. And then you're also very used to just being a strong person. And that's what people know. That's your brand. That anything contrary to that is like, like you get a very surprised reaction, like you can cry. I'm like, yeah. You know, it's, I mean, it's funny now, but genuine like situations like have come up where you feel totally alone because people don't understand what your problem is. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, because they only see the strong side and they don't know. They don't even try to look beyond that and do it. Because they're just not used to it. They're like, oh, she's like this, so she'll always be like this.
Yeah, but it can also be used as something that can be used against you. It's like, oh, we thought she was so strong. Oh, she's not strong. Okay, that's a weakness. Ah, let's hit it.
Exactly.
And then you become like a target.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what this episode is about today, that our strengths are not always our strengths, that every single strength has a downside and every single weakness has an upside, as you could say. So that was very, very inspiring, Saldus. I think that should have shown a lot of people that there is more to strength and more to confidence than they might think. And thank you so much for coming and speaking so openly.
All right, well, before we go to break, we just want to ask our listeners, what do you think is empathy?
This is Talking Eds Season 3, brought to you by the third cohort of the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change.
Welcome back to Campus FM Talking Yes Season 3 and our episode today about empathy and looking beneath the surface. We have had two wonderful guests today. Buna, who has told us about her project called Feedbook, showing the struggle of people who seem to have a perfect life on social media. And Solas Rose, a person who seems very strong but has her weaknesses and also needs help and care of others. Both guests beautifully showed how much there is going on behind the mask we wear and beneath the surfaces that others can see. The question is, how do we actually see what is beneath the surface?
Now, before the break, we asked you what empathy means for you. We think empathy can be a tool that we can use to look beneath the surface. So today we have an expert on empathy, Professor Angela Abela from the University of Malta. Hello, Professor. How are you?
Hello.
Angela is a professor at the Department of Family Studies, a clinical psychologist and a family therapist, and a supervisor that has played a key role in setting up the Department of Family Studies at the University of Malta, and in general, the psychology profession in Malta. So we are very happy to have her here today. And we would like to start out with asking her, what is empathy?
Empathy is the ability to wear another person's shoes, to be in the shoes of someone else. That's empathy. To be able to decipher the emotional being of that person, because when we communicate, we don't just communicate verbally, but we also communicate non-verbally. And therefore, empathy is the ability to capture and understand what the other person is communicating, both verbally and non-verbally.
Interesting.
And so, of course, it requires listening, with your eyes and your ears. In fact, there is a lot of interesting research now which shows that the way you look at a person, that person would know whether you are understanding the person or not because of what are called mirror neurons and the ability to mirror the person from the way you look at the person, from what you say. But it's not simply about paraphrasing. And of course, you need to check sometimes. I was just with a student a few moments ago. She was telling me about her experience in class and that she was struggling. And I wanted to make sure I was understanding well, because I didn't want to tell her you're struggling if she wasn't, although I felt that she was.
Oh.
And I wanted to take it easy with her to accompany her so that she will not feel as if I am very quickly taking her mask off and making her feel too vulnerable.
What's...
You know, as her teacher, you know? So I said, let me see whether I'm understanding. It seems to me that you are feeling a bit anxious. And she said, yes, I'm feeling very anxious. Oh, and then by the end, so I tell her, as I realize it's a big struggle, it may be a big struggle for a student to confide in the teacher, because the teacher in the end will mark the person. So I complimented her for being trusting and trusting us that we are here not simply to mark her, but also to help her, to support her. And this is empathy. It's that kind of interaction. By the end, she was feeling good.
All right. So empathy is not just looking underneath the surface, but being careful about how we look underneath the surface.
It's not. Empathy is what I said in the beginning. That is the very succinct definition, to be able to put yourself in the other person's shoes.
Oh.
But the process... What I elaborated upon is the process, how you show your empathy. You can show your empathy in various ways, and you start maybe the way you look because of the mirror neurons. Your nonverbal gaze towards the other person is already an empathic response. But then also when you communicate your empathy with the other person and you're not 100% sure or you want to be careful, the process of showing your empathic understanding could also be a process whereby you don't immediately, you know, jump on the person to tell the person how
that person feels, right?
How overwhelmed that person feels. It may not be the right thing to do, depending on your position and how you position yourself with that person.
How can empathy help us in our day-to-day lives?
It's everything, because we are, as human beings, we function through connection with others. We are born in this way. We need to connect with others. And empathy is a form of connection, which is very important. And the first empathic responses are by the mother or the person who has that role to attune with the baby. That is a form of empathy. When the baby is distressed, the way the mother responds to the baby will calm the baby down. And it is through that process that the regulation of emotions occurs in babies. And it continues to occur, because by time the baby will grow, and that baby will learn as a grown-up or as a child, you know, progressively learns to regulate his or her emotions. And that's very important in life, the ability to regulate one's emotions.
So usually when we talk about empathy, it is related to sort of like negative emotions, like, oh, somebody feels sad. Oh, I'll feel sad with you. But how is it related to people who on the outside seem very, very strong, but on the inside are not feeling that strong? How do we connect with those people too, who just on the outside look very positive and happy, but on the inside, we don't really know what they feel?
Well, if you are a very good observer, you will know that the person is not okay. Mm-hmm. I've just had an incident. I was abroad, and I had a tooth problem the second day. And because I was a guest and I didn't want to disrupt people, they took me out for dinner, I tried to hide it. And I ate, and I had a conversation with the people around me. And in the meantime, I wrote to my dentist and she told me, well, maybe you can wait till you come back. And then I couldn't wait because the next day my face was swollen.
Oh.
And I said, I must do something, go to a dentist. So I wrote to my colleagues in Finland. I was in Jyväskylän, Finland. Told them, very sorry to hassle you, but I need a dentist, etc., etc. And it was very interesting because the female colleague told me, well, I said something's wrong with Angela. She looks a bit sad. What's happening? She told me, I am relieved you told me you had a dental problem.
All right, so we have to be observational, right?
Yes, that if you are attuned to people, I mean people close to us, who are very close to us, if we are attuned, we know that these people are not happy, even if they don't tell us. Because the way the voice breaks, the way you look, the light in your eyes, the circulation of the blood in your face, all these things give you away.
Wow. All right. Well, I think that's all the time we have left for today. Thank you very much, Professor Angela. That was quite an interesting interview. I loved it.
It was a pleasure for me. Thank you for inviting me and well done for this lovely initiative of yours, right. Both of you.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Wow, that was amazing. We got a lot of insights from great guests today, and I personally feel like I have learned a lot from this episode myself. And we hope that you also learned a lot of things today about what is empathy and how we can practice empathy indeed.
And about the importance of not seeing things as black and white and trying to look beneath the surface, because there always is something beneath the surface.
Exactly.
So if you would like to find out a bit more about our course and what we are doing, you can always check out our blog at imask-unmask.squarespace.com. And if you want to contact Boona to participate in her feedback project, feel free to email her at boonrana.vvk@gmail.com. Boonrana is B-O-O-N-R-A-N-A.
All right, well, thank you, listeners. Thank you, guests. Everybody, please stay tuned for the next episode. Here we are, Campus FM, Season 3, Talking Eds.